Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, often I talk about the complexity of the payments industry, but have you taken a closer look at the fraud industry lately? Now, yes, I do mean fraud industry. And when taking a look at current fraud trends in the marketplace, it is easy to see how sophisticated fraudsters have become. So on today's episode, we're going to take a deep dive into a particular player within the fraud ecosystem, the mule. Now, what is a fraud mule, you might ask yourself? Well, on this episode, I'm going to be joined by Owlette Bigger-Levine, who is BioCatch Senior Vice President of Market Strategy, and Tim Sloan, Mercator Advisor Group's VP of Payments Innovation, to get a better understanding of fraud mules and how they operate. Now, before we get to this episode, I would like to call out that we will be having an in-depth webinar with BioCatch and Mercator Advisor Group on June 8th, 2021, that will explore the fraud ecosystem even more. So without any further delays, let's start today's show.
So Owlette and Tim, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. We're going to be taking a deep dive into the fraud ecosystem here, and particularly as it kind of relates to kind of account takeover, and more specifically, we really want to dive into the subject of mules here. So Owlette, let's start with you. So what are money mules, and what are their role in the fraud supply chain?
So hi, Ryan. Let's dive into money mules right away. I think they are critical when it comes to account takeover fraud. So a money mule is a person who transfers money acquired illegally. We're talking about stolen money or money laundering. And this is someone who will electronically or personally, but in this scenario, we're talking about electronic transfers online, transfer the money on behalf of others. And as I said, this money could be taken from account takeover attacks, where someone is stealing someone else's money by taking over their account. It could be money laundering, human trafficking, drugs, or other means. And typically, the mule is paid for their service, and they take a small percentage of the money that they transfer. When it comes to the fraud supply chain and their role in the fraud supply chain, there are a few actors. To simplify, in the fraud supply chain, there are a few actors. Those who create the tools to commit fraud, like malware, virus tools, etc. Those who commit the crimes, and those who help with a cash out, which are the money mules. And they're often recruited online. And they may think that what they're doing is legitimate, like work from home. Some of them might know what they're doing. There's a range here. And criminals often choose money mules through social media or online ads and persuade them to interact and engage with this type of crime. And I think at the end of the day, there's no account takeover fraud that can be complete without the use of money mules. And according to a survey by IT Group, fraud executives that were polled in September 2020 cited that mule activity is the strongest growing segment of fraud attacks in 2020.
The kind of attacks are increasing at a huge rate and continued to climb during COVID. Figuring out how you can detect these different types of behaviors and personas is obviously critical, especially when you're building models like BioCatch does. Understanding behavior and what the persona is and how they operate will help you develop those models to catch them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now let's dive into that a little bit and kind of, how it is that you catch and detect. And I kind of want to take a look at that from a purview of like how financial institutions are kind of really tackling this mule problem today. So let's start with you for your response on that.
So today financial institutions are looking at confirmed fraud cases. So, what is a target account where you detected a fraudulent transfer? What is the target account? And the velocity of transfers to these accounts that are associated with fraudulent transactions. But one of the challenges is that often the mule account is not within the same financial institution that is able to has visibility into the confirmed fraud case. And unless there's industry network to fight this type of fraud, there's not much they can do about it. So that type of collaboration is really, really critical between financial institutions. And some such networks exist in the industry, but it's not industry-wide. So we need to augment that with different ways to be able to track mule account activity.
It's interesting to note that many of the fraud platforms merchants are deploying are all networked together so that you get an antivirus effect. If fraud is detected on one node, that can prevent all the other nodes from being infected or seen or being hit by that criminal activity, because once it's detected, the model can be updated for all of the participants. You also get the advantage of collecting data from way more data points, which helps train the model more effectively. And I'm sure financial institutions are gonna jump on the bandwagon and figure out how they can also share that data.
Absolutely, absolutely agree that that type of collaboration is critical to create that net, that safety net.
You know, I think it's certainly interesting because obviously, you know, we're kind of talking about here just, okay, how is it the financial institutions are tackling kind of the problem today? But as you pointed out, though, that the mule segment within the fraud ecosystem is growing exponentially and large. So it kind of then asks the question of, okay, well, what more can be done here? Because clearly it's what's being done today by some financial institutions clearly isn't enough, because fraudsters say, hey, there's still a great return on investment here when it comes to using mules. So from your perspective, what else should financial institutions really be doing to kind of bring that exponential growth mule number back down to size, so to speak?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, Ryan. And I think that one of the things that we need to do is really look carefully at how mules act and what types of mules are out there. We said, okay, the mule is someone who transfers money or cashes out the money on behalf of the cyber criminal. And there are ways to detect mule activity even before it happens. But what we did at BioCatch is we carefully looked at confirmed mule accounts and observed their behavior. What we do at BioCatch is we look at a user's digital, physical, and cognitive behavior to distinguish between cyber criminals and legitimate actors. So once we had worked with our customers very closely to understand the mule problem and understand behaviors around mule accounts, we realized that there are actually five personas that act as mule accounts. So I'll just, you know, go through the personas quickly so we can understand why it's important to look at these personas. So the first persona is the deceiver. This is someone who has obtained stolen personal information via the dark web or via phishing attacks or data breaches, and they use stolen personal information to open an account on behalf of someone else or synthetic ID. So kind of a combination of real and fake information. And they open this account for the purpose of cashing out money. So some accounts are open to defraud a financial institution, take, you know, credit or promotions, but some are open for the purpose of becoming a mule account. If we can stop that at account opening, then we get rid of those deceivers. The second type is the peddler. The peddler is someone who is actually creating a genuine legitimate account on their behalf with their personal information. And the peddler then sells their account to cyber criminals because they don't need it anymore. We've seen that in cases, especially during COVID, where we saw students in Australia, that they no longer stayed in their university because universities were shut down. They went back home to other countries and they sold their accounts that they didn't need anymore as foreign students in Australia. And what happened was those accounts were sold to cyber criminals and they acted as mule accounts. The third type is the accomplice. And you'll see, you know, we go from the deceiver down the personas, you go from more complicit to less complicit type of actors in the mule space. So the accomplice is someone who uses their legitimate account to transfer money and cut percentage. They know what they're doing. They kind of know that they're engaged in cybercriminal activity, but their conscience is low. They do it anyway. They need the money. The next persona is the chump. This is also someone that is using their legitimate account to transfer money. They might think that they're doing something legitimate, like those work from home type activities. And by the way, we've seen this type of mule recruited during COVID. Really a surge in these mule type recruitment of the chump. Mostly people recruited through social media, mostly those who were most hit by the pandemic financially, who lost their jobs, youngsters at the ages of 21 to 30, that thought that they were now engaged in some, you know, work from home type activity. And finally, the victim. The victim is someone who doesn't know that their account is used as a mule account. They are actually, their account is taken over again through, you know, stolen credentials, through data breaches or through the dark web. And a cyber criminal is taking over their account and just funneling money through their account. So the account has a history and reputation of a legitimate account, but now is involved in cyber criminal activity. And why, the reason why we created these five personas is so we can look at the behaviors for each and every persona.
I was just going to say, I love the personas. They not only help us understand who these individuals are, but also the detectable behaviors each persona has so that models can detect them. It's a great way both just to educate people about all the different types of fraud, but also in a very detectable way. It's very clever.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. And what we did is, so think about the deceiver. The deceiver is the one who's using stolen personal information to open an account. By looking at account opening process and detecting those behaviors that will indicate that the deceiver is not the legitimate actor, we can stop those types of accounts from being created. So looking at the data familiarity, are they familiar with the data that they're entering? Are they using, you know, are they typing in a continuous manner or in a segmented way when it comes to personal information? Do they have a lot of errors? Are they using copy and paste? Are they familiar with the process of account opening because they open many, many accounts to become new accounts? So by stopping the deceiver at account opening, we can kind of get rid of that persona. When it comes to the account lifecycle, the other personas have kind of legitimate accounts or the accounts that were opened by the legitimate user. But in the case of the peddler, which is the one who sold their account as a student or something like that, and the victim who had their account taken over, we'll see a change in user behavior. So throughout, you know, initially we see some type of behavior. We see that, you know, they swipe or click or type in a certain way with a certain rhythm, left or right handedness. And then suddenly someone else is using their account. And therefore that someone else is now displaying different behaviors. So by profiling the user history of behavior, we can detect changes in user behavior and detect both the peddler and the victim for account takeover. The most challenging personas are the accomplice and the champ, because these are the legitimate users who open the account in a legitimate manner. They use their account for other reasons that are legitimate, but there is also cyber criminal activity. So how can we detect that someone is willing, knowingly or unknowingly, allowing money to be transferred through their account and cutting that percentage from the money? So that is something that we are able to do by looking at subtle behaviors that change over time, both on the user level and the account activity level. So on the user level, we see hesitation, duress, the fact that they're guided, and that is we are able to see on many, many behavioral indicators. On the account level, we've seen a lot of changes of how an account activity changes over time, from the normal behavior to, you know, frequent change passwords, frequent logins, to check balances and see if money has come in. And there are a lot of activities on the account level that we can see over time, including looking at, you know, you talked about the network. So the network effect is very, very critical as well.
Now, Violet, many of those monitoring activities need to be watching behavior over a significant period of time. This might be a naive question, but does the need for that historical behavior impact the business, or is it BioCatch that is maintaining those models over time to be able to see the shift?
Yeah, so BioCatch, that's a really, really interesting question. BioCatch does look at user behavior over time. The nice thing about it is that the behavior is anonymized, so we don't need to know who the user is. We're just looking at those behavioral interactions. We don't look at the data that is entered per se. It's more how the data is entered that we look at, and the rhythm and the speed and the way they type and what strokes they use, how the mouse moves. So from a data privacy perspective, we will maintain the data, the behaviors, and those are anonymized. So we are able to look at the patterns over time and look at account activity over time as well.
You know, one of the things that I'd really like to get to here is that, you know, a lot of our financial institution listeners are obviously hearing this and knowing, hey, look, yes, we recognize that this is a problem, but obviously any solutions that they implement, they're going to want to see an ROI on. So let's maybe unpack maybe a success story. Maybe you can kind of pull out some data in terms of a, hey, here's how much, you know, mule activity fraud we were able to reduce for a financial institution or something like that. So Ayla, maybe you could kind of enlighten our audience to some of the ROI or some of the success stories, if you will, for your organization.
Sure. So BioCatch typically to kind of when we hear from our customers that they need to solve new problems, we are really looking into the behavioral data and asking new questions. So we've been working very closely with several global financial institutions on the meal problem specifically for well over a year. And one of our first customers to use behavioral biometrics to tackle the problem was a large financial institution in Australia. And they saw really incredible results with behavioral biometrics. In the first 12 months, they identified over 2,000 meal accounts at a 1-to-1 genuine to fraud ratio, which is incredible, very low friction. And more recently and closer to home, several of our large banking customers have been using behavioral biometrics to identify meal accounts, which are being opened as part of a stimulus fraud crisis that we're seeing unfold here in the US. On average, in a normal manner, rate of high risk applications is 0.5%, kind of on a normal day. But some of our customers were reporting rates between 10 to 50% of high risk applications. And in investigating, we saw that this was directly correlated with stimulus fraud. And these attacks have been happening on a regional and state level. So for example, some states have seen jobless claims continue to soar even as unemployment rates drop nationwide, with more people getting back to work. And only recently, the state of Virginia saw jobless claims increase 58% in a single week. And what BioCatch saw across our customers was a direct correlation in our data when looking at the proportion of high-risk applications for new deposit accounts originating from the state.
That's amazing. and you think about the amount of money that states and federal government are losing in that process. It's just kind of mind-boggling.
And it's our money, right? It's the taxpayers' money that they're losing.
That's for sure.
Inside of that. And I just want to say here, what we take at BioCatch is a holistic approach. We look at the user behavioral biometrics with the user activity, the history, the type of behaviors that kind of correlating across populations, but also at the account activity, kind of the account event type behavior, as well as device elements to see, you know, repetitive logins and transactions come from the same device or different devices to detect account takeover. And as you mentioned earlier, the network effect is very critical. And driving the industry to collaborate and share that information to catch more fraud is something that's very, very critical and will drive success in detecting meal accounts.
A while back, I was working with a prepaid supplier that was trying to help the government shut down the tax refund fraud that was taking place. And what was so frustrating was the government had data that could be used to help shut that down, but they just didn't have the technology, the time, the money to go get that data to make it available. And so the fraud just kept on rolling. It's crazy.
I think one of the challenges is that, you know, cyber criminals are not those, you know, people like we see in the images with the hoodies sitting in a little, you know, dark place. They're well-organized supply chains with 9 to 5 day jobs who are innovative and use AI. We as an industry need to get together to collaborate and to keep up with them and get ahead of the curve. And one of the challenges is, of course, you know, how do we make sure that we work together as an industry to be able to tackle these problems and think ahead.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I absolutely have to agree there, because I mean, I think the one of the things particularly that I have found very interesting kind of when you take a look at fraud is just kind of the how much of a business oriented mindset that fraudsters have, you know, to the point that you had, it's kind of no longer the lone wolf, so to speak. It is a collective organization, a network. And then when you realize that, then you begin to really understand how important it is for you know, financial institutions, for the payments ecosystem itself to really collaborate and work together to solve this problem, because you can't do it alone. And if the fraud amount, you know, the fraudsters themselves are just getting more and more complex in their scheming and the way that they commit fraud. So with that kind of being said, I want to remind our audience here that on June 8th, we are going to be having a webinar that's taking a deeper dive look at some of the elements that we were talking about here today with BioCatch and Mercator Advisor Group. So I certainly welcome all of our listeners of today's episode to go ahead and register for that webinar. But I let Tim, thank you so much for taking the time today for kind of unpacking a little bit of the fraud ecosystem, but mainly particularly around mules here. And I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks,
Ryan. Thanks, Hyla.
Thank you, Tim.